Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I'm happy to be here. And praise the Lord. Let's stand and we'll go to the Lord in prayer before we go to the scripture this morning. Lord, we ask this morning as we approach this point of the service, Lord, for your guidance, Lord, for you to open the scriptures to us, Lord. Speak to our hearts this morning, dear God. I pray, Lord, giving us strength and instruction, Lord, and help. Lord, you knowing the needs of each one here, I pray, God, that you'll direct us along those paths. We ask, God, that you receive all glory from this service in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. I want to read one verse of scripture here, verse 7. What I want to speak on today is, if there's a question, there's an answer. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open. Maybe seated. Now, Brother Branham says here, in a man running from the presence of God, he says, if there's a question, there's got to be an answer. There can't be a question unless there's an answer. No matter what it is, there's got to be an answer. Having conferences, he says, it started in Eden, the first conference. He made a preparation. The first emergency was called. And God gave the answer and give the preparation, but the people won't take the preparation somehow. Now, Adam and Eve, they thought they had the answer to their problem, their situation. So they sewed, the Bible said, they sewed fig leaves together, thinking that was going to be the answer. But it wasn't the answer. And we know when the voice of God come walking through the garden looking for him and asking Adam, where art thou? And they had hid themselves because the fig leaves weren't the answer. They still didn't feel right. And so we know that he's told Eve that she would bear children in sorrow for what she'd done. And he's told Adam, said, thistles and thorns will spring up as you try to raise your food. And you'll eat your bread by the sweat of your brow in sorrow all the days of your life. But then he made a preparation for him. He gave the answer. Something had to die in their place. And that was the answer for us, for our sins. That was the answer back then. That was God showing what the answer was going to be in the future. Something had to die for our sins. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1, verse 23. Mark chapter 1, verse 23, it says, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. That's something. The demons knew more about it than what the scribes and the priests and the Sadducees and Pharisees did. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. They were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with what authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey? They questioned it because they couldn't believe it, yet they couldn't deny it. A lot of people will do that today. They'll question things. They'll question what you believe. They'll question what you say. And they don't believe it, but then they can't deny it. They don't believe that what your faith is right, but then when they have a need, they come to you and say, hey, could you take a prayer request before your church? Because they know God will answer the prayer. Turn me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now he was tempting him to see what he was going to say, to see if he would say something like, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. They were trying to trap him. And so they tried to ask a question in a way to try to ensnare him. But Jesus was far more intelligent than that spiritually. He was a lot quicker than they were. He could see they were trying to trap him. So he answers them in a way in which it actually just takes it and turns it right back on them. You should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Turn me to Mark chapter 9. There's quite a few scriptures I want to go to this morning, as you can tell. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, they were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And this was when they were gathered around, they were questioning his disciples because they had tried to cast out this spirit out of this young man. And the spirit didn't come out. So they were questioning, if you're right, you're doing right, why didn't that spirit come out? And there's always somebody there. The devil's always got somebody planted where they see maybe perhaps you do something wrong. Well, I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't have done that, would you? They see you, I've seen people try to push your buttons just to try to get you to lose your temper, to get a little upset with them. And as soon as you do, then they're, see, you ain't got it either. Just the devil. That's all that is. Don't feel condemned by that. But they question him, and then Jesus, then the man who was the father of this boy said, we asked your disciples to cast out this dumb spirit. And it says that in the scripture, this dumb spirit. I've known a lot of people that's had dumb spirits on them. It said, this dumb spirit. And Jesus then said, if thou canst believe, all things is possible to them that believe. And that's when the man said, of course, said, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And then Jesus cast the deaf and dumb spirit out of the boy, and because the boy, it had threw the boy down, and he was having a fit and frothing at the mouth, and the father says sometimes it throws him in the fire and sometimes in the water, and it's trying to destroy him, but Jesus cast it out. Then the disciples come to Jesus afterwards when they were aside and said, and asked him, how come it wouldn't come out when we did it? All the other demons came out when we cast them out, but this one wouldn't. See, because they didn't have the answer to what these these, they were kind of in, trapped here because they were being asked by these scribes, how come you couldn't do it? They didn't have the answer. So they went to Jesus. Jesus said that this spirit cometh out only by prayer and fasting. And I've took that scripture and realized that, you know, when you're dealing with spirits that are in people, possessing people, you can't deal with one like all, you can't deal with all of them like one and the same. There's different ways to deal with them. And there's some that the people, when there's no way to deal with them if you get around somebody who loves the spirit that's on them. If they love that spirit, Brother Bram said, you can't deliver them. It's like that maniac that came up and said, told Brother Bram in the pulpit, said, I'm gonna break every bone in your body. And Brother Bram said, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, you'll fall across my feet. And as the man lunged for him, he fell and laid right across Brother Bram's feet, pinned him to the floor. And they had to come roll the man off of Brother Bram's feet. And the policeman that was there asked Brother Bram, said, did he get delivered? He said, no, because he loves that spirit. So when someone loves the spirit that's on him, you can't deliver him. A person who's comfortable with it, you can't get them delivered. God will have to bring that person to where they actually really want to be free. And when they really want to be free, they're tired of being in the condition that they're in. Then God can set them free. Turn back to the 8th chapter of Mark. Mark chapter 8, verse 10. And straightway he entered into a ship with the disciples, came into the parts of Dalmanuth, and Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit, and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall be no sign given unto this generation. And he left them and entered into a ship again to depart to the other side. Now they came, and while they were tempting him, was saying, you know, if you are who you say you are, then give us a sign. Let God from heaven give us a sign, and then we'll believe you. That was the same way they did when he was on the cross. If you be the Son of God, come down off the cross, and we'll believe you. See, asking a question, trying to trap him, because they didn't believe. So they didn't believe there would come a sign, so they were trying to trap him and tempt him. But he said, there's not going to be any sign given. There won't be any sign given. That was the answer. No sign's going to be given. Why? Because it was enough that the word itself, as John said, had come down in flesh. He said, the Son of Man can do nothing except you see the Father doeth it first. He said, if you can't believe me, believe the works. But they couldn't even believe the works. So they were always questioning him. Every time you turned around, they were questioning him. You ever had been around people and they ask you questions, and sometimes you think, I know there's an answer, but I don't quite have the answer. I don't know how to answer them. Well, I believe Jesus always knew how to answer them. But I want to show you a time, Mark chapter 11, if you'll turn to me there, in verse 27, where Jesus didn't answer him. He didn't give him an answer. Now watch. Verse 27, and when they come again to Jerusalem, as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. said unto him, By what authority dost thou these things? And who give thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will ask you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we say from heaven, he'll say, then why didn't we not believe him? But if we say of men, they feared the people. For all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered, said unto Jesus, We cannot tell. See, he just turned around, instead of answering them, he just asked them questions. If you answer my question, I'll answer yours. But they seen that no matter which way they answered his question, it was a trap. There wasn't no good way to answer his question they would be trapped by whatever they answered. So they said, Well, we're not going to answer you then. Jesus said, Neither will I answer you. And why would he do that? Why would he not just tell them by what authority he'd done those things? Because answering their question would have been a waste of time. Because they wouldn't believe it anyway. They already didn't believe. That's why they were asking him, By what authority do you do this? And who gave you this authority? They wouldn't have believed what he told them. So to answer him would have been a waste of time. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. We just got a couple of more, two or three more verses of scripture to go to. 22 verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they said unto him, The son of David. He saith unto them, How then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man answered him a word. Neither durst any man from that day on ask him any more questions. So he asked them a question that from that day on they said, We ain't asking this man no more questions. He always turns it around on us and puts us on the spot in front of the people where we can't give an answer. There's no way, either way we answer it, we come out bad. We just ain't going to ask him no more questions. Turn me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. So you don't feel put on the spot. Somebody asks you a question that you've always got to answer it. Because if they're asking a question just for the purpose to try to start an argument, I preached one place and I said something that a man came out and was questioning me on, and it was something on marriage and divorce, and I told him, I said, in the tape player in my car is the tape Marriage and Divorce. I just finished listening to it. And I was answering his question, but it didn't matter what I answered him. And so Jonathan was with me. And so Jonathan and I got back into the vehicle. And I told Jonathan, I said, it's like water off a duck's back, trying to answer him, Then I went someplace else and I was preaching. And I mentioned something about babies going to heaven. Boy, did that stir up something. And so I had told the people, I said, I've been a lot of places. I said, if you have a question, don't come ask me. Ask your pastor. Ask your pastor. And I thought that would get me to be able to avoid getting stuck in some of these things, And this was back before I'd started pastoring. I was traveling around. And this brother come up to me and he said, boy, he didn't like that. There's no way all babies, if they die, could go to heaven. What if that baby was a serpent seed? Well, you know, I could try to sit there and reason with a brother and tell him, you know, here, this is what, first of all, this is what the prophet said. You either believe it or you don't believe it. You either believe what the prophet said, you either believe he's a prophet or you don't. If you don't, then you don't believe what he said. If you're going to believe what he said over here, but not over here, then you got a problem. Again, he wasn't listening. We got back in the vehicle, and John looked at me and said, Dad, it's like water off a duck's back. And you ever have people ask you a question, and then they don't listen to the answer? And, you know, they took the time to ask you the question. If you want to take the time to answer them, then you can tell they're not even listening to the answer because they really weren't interested in the answer at all. I figure if somebody's going to ask me a question, if they take the time, they ought to take the time to listen to the answer. But they won't, we'll see here in a few minutes, they won't always do that. They won't always listen. Turn to me to the last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I wasn't sure whether I was going to touch on this or not, but then I just felt quickened to it back in the back room, and I pulled up another scripture, which I'll quote here in a moment. In verse 23 of chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. In other words, don't seek for your own good. Seek for somebody else's good. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before ye, eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say to you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that shoot it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So what Paul, he talks about this in a couple different places, but what Paul is speaking of is, when they got to dealing with among the Greeks, there was animals that were sacrificed unto the Greek gods. And then after the animal was sacrificed, they would take that meat and take it into the marketplace and cut it up and sell that meat for the people to take and to eat thereof. And the Jews believed it was wrong to eat of meat that had been sacrificed to gods. But Paul was saying, look, when they offer to you, just for conscience sake, don't even ask where it come from. Just eat it. But said, now, if somebody says to you, this has been offered, then he said, then don't eat of it for their sake. And then he goes on in verse 29 to say, conscience, I say not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? He says, why is my liberty questioned of another man's conscience? That, for if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of, for which I give thanks? But also remember that Paul said, take heed lest by any means your liberty become a stumbling block to those that are weak. So because you feel liberty of it, don't let your liberty become a stumbling block to somebody else. Um, there are people that believe you shouldn't eat in a restaurant. If, like, for instance, like, the Mexican restaurant that a lot of us go to over here, or Applebee's or anything like that, because they say they serve drinks in there. And so you shouldn't eat there. Well, they'd be hurting in Germany. They'd have to eat at home. Because even McDonald's serves drinks. German people, I don't think, are very big on water over there. But, you know, I don't feel anything wrong about it. But if I know that I've got a brother that feels that, then I'm not going to flaunt that in his face, or her, or his sister, or whatever. So don't let your liberty become a stumbling block to someone else. The message of the called out, Brother Ram says, it seems to me that when men who are made in the image of God, feeling this great pressure coming on, should go to safety, but they don't do it. They won't listen. Though the warning voice of God speaks day after day, night after night, but men desire to live in sin. Now, as I thought on this, as I was studying these things, I thought about how that the Holy Spirit had been coming over the last three services and giving us warnings the last three Sundays. And giving us warnings when we preached on Watchmen, What of the Night. And giving us warnings of things that the devil tried to do in our midst. And how he's trying to bring a division among the people. And I thought, well, I just pray that everyone here, there's no one that won't listen to the warnings. But if there's someone who won't listen to the warnings because they want to be in sins, what Brother Branham's saying, they desire to live in sin. He says here in Lord, Show Us the Father, he said, God in his universe, how he governs the things, how he moves, his motions and things, and everything obeys him. Everything. He can say to the stars, do this and it'll do it. Everything he speaks to. Everything obeys him. Only one thing that won't obey him, and that's man. Man knows more about it than God does. So he just got his own ideas. That's the thing. When people ask you a question or something, and they're not really looking for an answer because they figure they know more about it than you do. What we call a know-it-all person. They know everything. Some places they call that them 18. It seems like I remember being 18 years old, 18, 19 years old, and I thought I had a good hold on everything. Thought I had the answers. And as I the older I got, the more I realized, no, I don't have the answers to everything. And I don't know everything. And you know, there's you can always learn something. You can always learn something. You can learn something from anybody. It doesn't matter, even if you're learning, that's not the right way to go about doing it. You learn something. He says, man knows more about it than God does, so he knows he's got his own ideals, so he won't listen to God. But if man would just open his eyes and look around, he could see God everywhere. Stand still, he said, what's the matter with the church today is they want their way. You stand still and watch God's way. He knows what's best. Who can interpret God better than himself? He said, you got to come on God's terms, not your way. God's provided way of dealing with sin. He said, God's dealings, now listen to this. He always has a way of to deal. He's got a way today of dealing with individuals. Sometimes if you won't listen to him, he will permit the devil to do something to you so that he can bring you, lay you on your back sometimes, so you have to look up. That's God's provided way many times of doing that. So when God gives a warning, one thing that I as a pastor have confidence in, that if you belong to God one way or another, he's going to get your attention. And if you fail to listen to it coming across the pulpit, then something is going to come about and happen to where you'll have to call on God. You might be on your deathbed, but you're not, if you belong to God, you're not going to be lost. He's going to get you some way or other. As I heard Brother Biscoe say one time, you can come easy or you can come hard, but if you belong to God, you're coming. Hear ye him, he says, they won't listen. They are stiff-necked people. They're starchy. They know it alls. They won't listen. And if the Holy Spirit, here it is, if the Holy Spirit will teach anything, it'll be out of that Bible. For he said, when the Holy Ghost has come, he'll bring these things that I've taught you to your memory and will show you things to come. So if it's the Holy Spirit teaching, it's going to be out of the Bible. If it's the Holy Spirit leading you, then it's not going to be in contrary to the Word of God. He said, you say, Brother Branham, I go to church. That's all right. Say, I never lied in my life. That's fine. Say, I never stole. I never done this or that or the other. That's very fine. That's all good. But that still isn't sin. Sin is when God shows you himself and you won't listen to it. That's when it's sin. When God gives a warning and you won't listen. Or you say, my church don't teach that. He said, as long as the Bible teaches it, God proves it. That's the thing. Rejected king, he said, they want some man who can interpret the Bible the way they want to hear it. That's a lot of the church world today. They want somebody to interpret the Bible in the way they want to hear it. I was sitting out at Sonic about a month or so ago, and it was me and Mina and Will. We were sitting out there on Thursday night after church just getting something to drink, and I don't know what made me think of it, but I thought, well, when was pants invented for men? When was it first invented? And so I Googled it. Well, when I did, up come this preacher, his writings of about whether women should wear pants or not. And he had several different things. Women wear pants, women cut their hair, all these women wearing makeup, and all these different things he had in there. And he had answers about it. And in every one of them, he was explaining away anything that you could point to in the Bible. So he went to many of the scriptures you would know, but he took and tried to explain in a way to where it didn't mean what you think it means. So that's what Brother Branham said. They want men to interpret the Bible the way they want to hear it. They won't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking through the Bible. If a man was poor, miserable, wretched, blind, and naked, and if he knew it, he'd try to help himself. But when a man's in that kind of condition and doesn't know it and won't listen, you can't tell him anything. He won't listen. So he's talking about people in this age, because the Bible said this age was wretched and miserable, poor, blind, naked, and knoweth it not. And he said, I counsel thee that they would buy of him raiment white, that they may be clothed. But they won't listen. They don't want that. They want to be clothed by the word. They want to do what they want to do because they feel it makes me feel good. If a man, he said, if you won't listen to God, he'll give you over to a spirit that'll condemn you. Be turned over to a reprobate mind and believe a lie and be damned by it. There's a lot of folks that are in that condition today. They're believing a lie. What they're believing they're all right in the condition that they're in. They go to church. They're a church member. They attend a church. A lot of people attend their church. They got a big church. You know, God must be with them because they got so many members. So everything must be all right. The preacher says it's all right. The organization says they're all right. The thing about it is, man and organizations have changed their opinions on things. I can tell you this from my family's involvement years ago in the Church of God, that it used to be wrong to wear pants. It used to be wrong to cut your hair. A lot of these things. But now, if you come down from headquarters, it's all right. It's all right. So you go into one of the churches and you see women dressed just any kind of old way and men dressed just any old kind of way and see their hair chopped off. Some of the women's hair chopped off as short as men and whatever else in the church, and everybody's praising God and that. And the church is packed out. And I went to one of these places once earlier this year, and I was there with my cousin and my aunt. We were visiting. And I told my cousin, I said, you see all these people how they are? I said, that's why this church is full. Because they can live and do and dress and have their hair however they want to do it. So that's why the church is full. Brother Branham, in speaking watchman, what of the night, he said, you might put a preacher for president in every country in the world, and the people will go headlong just the way they want to go. They won't listen to it at all. He said, my mother had an old southern proverb. Said, you can lead a mule to water, but you can't make him drink. He said, a mule's the most dishonorable animal I know of. A mule's just one of the most stubborn, ignorant things I've ever seen. You can't tell him nothing. He'll just stand there and stare at you. You say, come here, boy, and he'll stick them big ears out and just look. Talk to him and tell him the truth. He'll wait to get a chance, if he's dying, to kick you. That's right, he ain't got no sense, and that's just the way it is with a lot of people today. You can't talk to him about the coming of the Lord. They stick their ears out and stare at you, no more about it, what you're talking about, than a mule does. He'll wait all his lifetime to get to kick you just before he dies and kill you if he can. He'll sure do it. He'll wait his whole lifetime laying back there just waiting. Now, I'll get you around behind me someday. And that's just the way a lot of people in churches like that. Well, I'll pat you on the back till I get a chance to cut your throat. But you know, I like a horse, don't you? Especially a pedigree horse, one that knows his ancestry, who know where they come from, papa and mama and grandpapa and great-great-grandpapa and great-great-great-grandpapa, all the way on back. He knows his line of blood. You can put some confidence in him. And handwriting on the wall, he said, if you won't listen to the voice of a preacher, you'll listen to the hand of God in judgment someday. Now, I tell you what, friends, I'd rather listen to the voice of warning now today and take heed to it than to come down and have to answer to God in the day of judgment. Why? When he sent his warning, why didn't I not take heed to it? Show us the Father. He was given this little illustration about ducks. And he said, when their eggs hatch among that group of ducks, there's a little duck that's born to be a leader. And just as soon as the first cold breeze sweeps down across the mountains, that little old duck will run out in the middle of the pond. He's never been off that pond all of his life. He was born there. He'll run right out there and stick his little old honker up in the air and honk four or five times, and every duck on the pond will come to him. What's the matter? God's given the ducks instinct. That's right. They know that little duck is a born leader. Something's going to happen. There's a cold breeze blowing. The trouble of it is, when the cold breeze blows, man won't listen to his leader, which is God. Them little old ducks, all them will get right around him, and they'll race off the water, never been off there in his life, but go straight to Louisiana as he can go, to the rice fields, to dodge all the cold weather, because God's given him a provided way to detect. He's never been off there. He has no compass. He don't trust the compass. He trusts instincts God gave him. We ought to have duck sense anyhow. If God give a duck enough instinct to dodge the cold and go to safety, how much more ought to give the church with the baptism of the Holy Ghost to trust God, God in his nature? God provided a duck with instinct. So if a duck can follow instinct, he says, how much more should the church that has the Holy Ghost be able to follow God? Be able to take the warnings that God gives. Friends, look, we got a great little church here, but the devil don't like it. And he don't want us to be this way. That's why we've got to be determined that we'll listen to the word and we'll keep it with brotherly love amongst each other. Amen. He don't want our families to be the way they are. He'd like to keep our families tore up. But we have to be determined we're not going to let our families be tore up. Amen. Sometimes it may take you humbling yourself a little bit, even when you don't think you're the one at fault. Humble yourself and say, well, maybe it's me, and approach it from that point of view and make sure God can bring the family back together. Sometimes you apologize when you don't think you have to apologize. Just do it anyway. It ain't going to kill you. But what's important is what's best for the family, what's best for the church. That's what's important. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. If there's a question, there's always an answer. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this service today. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given us. We ask and trust, Lord, that you, Lord, will quicken that word to our hearts, dear God. Lord, I pray for your people that you help them throughout this week, dear God, on their jobs and their different tasks and things of life they must go about, that you'll keep them, Lord, and give them strength, Lord. Minister to them throughout this week, dear God. Keeping, I pray, this presence of God would come and just stay around them. We ask for you to bless their fellowships today, dear God. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the glory of God. Amen.